We're going to continue our discussion this morning in the Gospel of John, and I didn't keep track of exactly. I think it was a couple of mornings ago. I was thinking about what I was going to talk about, and I knew we were in John chapter 14. And if you remember that we're at the meeting that Jesus has at the Last Supper, and there's a lot of words in red to talk about. I began to think about that John chapter 14 has one of the most famous and familiar verses in all the Bible. Now, sometimes you get in trouble when you get too familiar with a verse. But I was thinking about it and meditating on it, and I know the Lord wants me to share this verse, and it'll be appropriate since we're real close to Election Day. So, discovering Jesus through the Gospel of John, and the title of today's sermon is The Truth. Say that with me, everybody. The truth. I'm going to put this verse up before I get into it deeply because I want to make sure I give you at least one Bible verse before I start talking about all the lies that have going on in our country. But the truth. Jesus said this statement in John 14:6. Very famous verse, very familiar verse. You'll see it sometimes held out at sporting events, and with, you know, you'll see John 3:16, but you'll see this verse quite often. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that verse, if you love Jesus and you've received Jesus, that verse ought to make you happy. And you agree with that verse, don't you? But if you don't love Jesus and you don't agree with that verse will make you a Democrat. Oh, don't shut me down, Maria, just because I'm preaching real good. Now, I know I've got a captured audience here, but that's a verse that's very controversial. How do I want to do this? One of the things I want to say about this verse is many years ago, it has to be many years ago, because Joel Osteen was on Larry King Live. How many of you remember Larry King? Had the suspenders. He had a pretty good program on CNN back before CNN completely turned themselves over to Satan. Are you listening to me? I mean, they are totally and completely sold out to Satan. So is MSNBC. Okay? And so prior to that, it was Larry King Live, and Joel Osteen was on, and Larry asked Joel Osteen a really hard question. And he said, you don't really believe, do you, Joel, that if you don't receive Jesus and know Jesus, that all the rest of the world, all the rest of the people are lost and condemned to hell? You don't really believe that, do you? And, you know, that's a tough question, especially when you're on national TV, and especially when you got a 20,000-member church. See, I don't have quite as much to lose. Oh, I would love the opportunity to lose 20,000. What would that be like? And I guarantee you I could get it done, couldn't I, Brian? Huh? Wouldn't take me long at all. But he's got a 20,000 member, at least 20,000 member, in Houston, Texas. That's probably why they won the World Series, because Joel Osteen's the minister there. And he got backed into a corner, and he backed down. And he said, oh, you know, God knows what he's doing, and I just trust that it'll be okay. But that's not what Jesus said. All he really had to say was this. Look, Larry, I have received Jesus. I work for Jesus. I love Jesus. I know Jesus. And by the way, you don't. I know Jesus. And Jesus is the one that said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes to the Father except through him. Now, I could spend the entire rest of my life explaining why that is. And we're going to go back and we're going to review what we've learned previously in this glorious book of what we call the Gospel of John. I'm reluctant to make this statement, but I think I'll make it anyway because I can always take it back later. Everybody else does. Huh? You just say whatever you want to say and then you just take it back later. I never said that. Anyway, remember the sermon title is what? What's the sermon title? How many of you are just craving for somebody out there to tell you the truth? And how is it that a man who is supposedly the president of the United States, how is it that he can stand up and tell people that when he took office, gas was $5 a gallon? How can he expect people to be that stupid? Because it was $2.29 when he took office. And yet he stands up and tells people that when he took office, gas was $5. And the line media that's in the bed with him, that's a teammate of his, doesn't hold him accountable for any of it. How can he stand up and tell people that that moron that attacked Paul Pelosi, that the more we find out about it, the more we wonder about Paul Pelosi? Listen, I'm sorry he got his head hit. I'm sorry he got hit in the head with a hammer. Everybody hear me? But the more we find out about Mr. Paul, something strange was going on in San Francisco. But how can we be told that this fella that lived in a used bus or a dilapidated bus that had BLM stickers on the back of his bus, how can they stand up and tell us that he was a right-wing activist just like those people on January the 6th and nobody hold him responsible for that lie? I mean, you could stand up here and I could spend the rest of my 50 minutes telling you lie after lie after lie that's being told. But there's one person that has never lied and never will lie, and that person is Jesus Christ, because he is the truth. And I'm going to put this verse up, and it's not really part of what I was talking about. Jamin, you got to find John 7:7. It's a Las Vegas verse. Donnie's very familiar with it. It's a very familiar number for me because it's a lot of the times that's what I score on a golf hole. And if you know anything about golf, sevens are not good. The world cannot hate you. The world cannot hate you. He was talking to his beloved brothers. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me. Why does it hate you? Why does it hate you? But it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. Now, let me tell you another way to say that. Can I tell you this? Can you see this in that? Listen, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I tell it the truth. I tell the truth. And you see, he'd already, the next chapter, on his next visitation, he already tells them what they're listening to, and that's John 8:44, and this is one that really, really would make Larry King squirm. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth. Listen, and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. But Jesus said that he was the truth. And then he said that the people that are under the sway of the devil, there's no truth in the devil and there's no truth in the people that are under his sway. Amen. And so when they call us extremists, when they call us threats to democracy, when they tell people that if we get back in power, if we get back where we have the majority, that we're going to be the ones that kill our children, they're the ones that's lying to you. Because what they really hate is God. And that doesn't mean that all the Republican candidates are God, are children of God. It just means that people that are on the side of God have to go towards the conservative Republican agenda, because you can't go the other way, because it's totally been corrupted by Satan. Amen. There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. It's a dangerous time in our country. I've never seen it so corrupted, so evil, so debased. And listen, don't get caught up into thinking that God's an American. Don't do that. God's not an American. You know, God loves the people Indonesia, Asia, Korea, Venezuela, El Salvador. Speak some language that we don't know. Amen. He's not an American. He loves America, but he loves Venezuela. He loves El Salvador. He even loves Russia. He loves China. All the people of the world, get on board. Anyway, don't think that God's an American and that somehow or another, just because we think God's an American, that somehow or another we can escape some of the choices we make. There's a price to pay for evil. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, that he'll also reap. Now, we're the people that are going to be able to stand in the gap for our nation, because we are children of God, and we can intercede on behalf of our nation and ask God to extend his grace and mercy so that we can do what God wants done, and that's get people out from under this rotten person, the devil. Can I get an amen? Amen. Somebody said, I don't know about this kind of preaching. I know you don't know about this kind of preaching, because this kind of preaching's not going on, because it's uncomfortable, because it's real, because it's not fake, because it's what's wrong with all of us. Everything I've done wrong, everything that's been a mistake in my life has been the result of listening to this rat. Everything. It's because I listened to this rat. And everything I've done right and any good that I've produced in my life is because I allowed Jesus to do something through me. And what we want to do is create a population of people that allow Jesus to do more through them than they allow the devil to do. And somebody said, well, we're just too sophisticated to talk about the devil. No, you're too stupid. That's what's wrong with you. Or you're afraid. You're afraid, like Joel Osteen. Hold on, you know, Larry, God knows what he's doing. You know, I mean, come on now. I don't want to lose my bunch. Can I get an amen? Let me get focused. Put John 14:6 back up. So can you embrace John 14:6?
Yes.
Does it make you happy?
Yes.
Can you stand for it?
Yes.
Amen. Is it your pledge of allegiance? Is it your doctrinal position that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me? Again, you know, I'd have to teach what I've been teaching here for 26 years to get everybody to understand, and I'm going to take you through the Gospel of John to explain to you why that is the truth. Why is that the truth? Why is he the way, the truth, and the life? So we go back and we do a little review. How many of you, your favorite teachers were those that did some reviewing for you? Now, my favorite teachers, Pete, were those that not only did the review, but told you what the questions would be on the test. I went to a school in the Army called PLDC, Primary Leadership Development Course. Can you see me at one of them classes? Well, hello, Sergeant. Everybody, they'd always ask me, boy, where are you from? And I'd say, Brooklyn. The Bronx. At this class in El Paso, Texas, you learned about being a non-commissioned officer, and so you had to take certain tests. And I remember the drills would go over the test with you, and then one guy, I never will forget, there was one question, I guess everybody was struggling with the answer, and he just told us what the answer was. Now, that's the greatest kind of teacher there is. But anyway, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's go back to the very beginning of John's gospel, and let's give you some verses that are absolutely required if you want to be a serious student of God's holy word. And let me just say that if you want to really be a serious student of the Bible, you need to learn the gospel of John. You need to spend some quality time in John's gospel. But let's just remember what was said at the very beginning of this book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why don't we just say that? Let's kind of get our bearings here. Ready? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. He was at creation. And then verse 3, watch this. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In other words, remember, if you go back to Genesis, you'll see that God said, let there be light. God said, let us make man in our image. God said, when God said it, God the Word's the one that spoke it. God the Father spoke through God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit created everything that is. Everything that's visible was made by the invisible, and by faith we understand that the world, Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The Word, Jesus, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So the person, so you're going to do this quite a bit here, Jamin. John 14:6, so the person that made the statement that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him, that person was not a flesh and blood human being born of a man and a woman. That person was God the Creator. Amen. Does that help you understand the exclusivity? Does that help you understand why he can say that I am the way, the truth, and the life? Because I'm the one that made you. And I'm the only one that can qualify to be your redeemer, because I'm the only one that has divine sinless blood. Don't shout me down now just because I can preach through alarms. Does that help you? You see that? See, you got to understand that there really isn't any other way, because no other religion offers you divinity. No other religion offers you the Creator as your redeemer. No other religion offers you the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. In fact, let me read this verse, because it was one of my verses I read in Colossians real quick, because it'll back this up. Colossians 1 verse 15, we're going to go one at a time and read these verses and recognize them. Ready? He, talking about Jesus, remember, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, no one comes to the Father except through me. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16. This is just validation of John chapter 1. For by him all things were created. By him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him. Listen to this. This is fascinating. And for him. Oh man, no wonder they came to get us. No wonder they came to rescue us. God made us for his glory. God made us for his honor. God made us because he loved us and cherished us above all of his creation. God died and bled for us because he wanted to get back what he had done. Or he wanted to redeem us back to himself, because he's the one that we're the ones he gave it to. I'll get it out. He gave it to us. He made it all. He created it all. And then he gave it to us. And if you go back to Hebrews chapter 2, you'll find out that when he did that, the angels were amazed and flabbergasted and couldn't understand, what has God done? What is man that you are mindful of him? You've crowned him with glory and honor, and you've put him over all the works of your hand. He gave it to us. Listen to me. I know it's simple, but yet hardly anybody's ever heard this. Listen, not hardly anybody's ever heard this. He gave it to us. We gave it to the devil, and Jesus took it back. Now, what he took back was redemption. He didn't take back this rotten, stinking, filthy world. He don't want nothing to do with it. He wants to get us delivered out of it. Does that make sense to everybody? All things were created through him and for him. Look at verse 17. Look at this. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have what? Say it with me. Preeminence. He may have what? The preeminence. He may have what? The preeminence. Why? Because he is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. And the reason why the world hates him is because the world doesn't want to hear the truth. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. And then watch this. This is a very wonderful verse. We'll stop right here in Colossians. The next verse. For by him, listen, for by him, y'all getting a picture of this? For by him, by who? By the Creator, by God. For by him to reconcile, listen to this, to reconcile all things to himself. The reason why he's the way and the truth and the life is because no other person could reconcile anything to anybody. Because nobody qualified, because everybody had the same problem, and that was the wrong nature. God had to send the divine nature of his Son so that he could reconcile all things to himself, because that was the spotless, sinless Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. And yet we're out today shopping and meandering, and you know, this place ought to be packed with people wanting to hear that information. And that's a true story. I mean, that's a true statement. We've got dull of hearing. This is the most important thing anybody can ever share with you in your entire life. I don't care what you do, I don't care what you accomplish. If you've never been told this or taught this, your life will not have any purpose in the very end of it. Because Jesus Christ is the motivation and the reason why every human being should live. Amen. I'm serious. I'm telling you right now. You wouldn't have to worry about anybody cutting off their female parts or their male parts if they knew the Lord Jesus Christ and knew who he was. They would be content in that knowledge and in that understanding and that peace, and they would be satisfied in how God created them. You wouldn't have to worry about murder and rape and incest and jealousy and lust and lying politicians if you gave your heart to Jesus. He is before all things, and through him all things consist. Amen. He's holding everything together by the word of his power. Look, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read one more anthem about him. Listen, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, not anybody else, by who? By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. See, there was a problem in heaven. Sin got all the way up to heaven. Do you know that? Having made peace, how did he do it? Through the blood of his cross. Let me give you one more anthem about this, one more glorious piece of information in the Bible. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. And these are four verses too that you need to just get soaked into your heart and mind. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Amen. Everybody understand what that's saying? In the Old Testament, prophets spoke. God spoke through Abraham. God spoke through Moses. God spoke through Ezekiel. God spoke through Isaiah. God spoke through Jeremiah. God spoke through my favorite, Habakkuk. Amen. Zephaniah. He spoke through them, but he couldn't use them as the Redeemer because they had the same problem we had, and that is they had the blood of Adam in them. You with me? But he spoke. He was always talking. He was always reaching out. He was always letting everybody know he hadn't give up on us. And then if you really understand it, and this is another thing that's mysterious to me, is how people don't grasp the Bible, the overview of the Bible. If you really understand it, you would understand that God is not the one that's controlling the world system, because the way God had to get back into the world system is he had to find a person who would receive him back into covenant with him. And he found a man named Abraham that would listen to him a little bit. How many of you know God will take a little bit? And then through Abraham, he was able to create a race of people called the Jews or the Israelites, so that through those people, the Messiah could be born. The seed of Abraham, the seed of David, the seed of the woman, the divine Son of God could be manifested. Amen. Are you listening to me? Praise the Lord. Isn't this good? Doesn't it kind of clear your mind to some of the nonsense you've had to put up with this week? The washing of the water of the Word. Now do you know why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Now are you willing to stand for that and say absolutely? I tell you what, do it like this. You show me yours and I'll show you mine. Remember that? Remember when all those prophets, the devil's prophets down there, was Elijah, wasn't he, that challenged them? Said, I tell you what, we'll make an altar. You make your altar, and you call on your God, and I'll make an altar, and I'll call on my God. And, of course, they kept calling on their God to come down and do something, and there was nothing but silence. And then Elijah, you know, he was a little cocky. He might have fit right in today with a televangelist. Probably didn't dress appropriately, though his suits weren't nice enough. But he rubbed their nose in, and he said, I tell you what you do, just bring some water and pour water all over this thing. And then he mocked him. He said, you know, your God must be sleeping. Is he sleeping up there? What's wrong with him? And it came his time to show off, and he said, pour some water around all this thing. Just get it all soaking wet. And then, boom, fire came down from heaven, and God revealed himself. That's what we got to have the attitude when it comes to the things of the Lord. And I'm talking about walking in love towards most people, but also being able to stand up and speak the truth in love and tell people, you show me yours and I'll show you mine. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, has in these last days. When did the last day start? When Jesus went up to heaven and sat at the right hand of God. That's when the last day started. We're living in the last days, and so far that's been about 2,000 years. But according to God's clock, how long has that been really? 2 days. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed. Hear it again. How many, by the mouth of how many witnesses shall ever word be established? Two or three. John 1:3 says that he created all things, right? Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 or 18, somewhere in there, said all things were created through him and for him. Has in these last days, Hebrews 1:2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the worlds. Ooh, think about that for a minute. Has anybody out there been left any money from somebody that passed away? Pretty good thing too, wasn't it? Nothing wrong with it, right? Nothing wrong with being in there. I know when my dad died, I got a shotgun and a Kentucky Wildcat pillow. I didn't get rich. And I gave the shotgun to my cousin because I don't like those shotguns. I'm not a gun guy. But the longer I live in America, I may become one. Don't shout me down now. And I like Mr. Booker because you can always count on him for a little protection.
Amen.
Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, here it is, through whom also, what did he do? He made the worlds. In the beginning was the Word. The Word spoke what God the Father created or wanted created, and the Word spoke it. Verse 3. Who, listen to this, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. You know what I hope's happening here? I hope now that when you read John 14:6, you don't question it for one moment. You embrace it and praise God for it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Redeemer. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Oh, man. Let's say it. What is it? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's say these 5 words. Ready? When he had by himself. Who said purge? There you go. We had another guy last week that kept wanting to add a word to it. That's okay. When he had by himself. Who did it? Did he have any help? Is he the way, the truth, and the life? When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Verse 4. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You know the name that the world hates the most? Jesus. The only time the world will use the name of Jesus is to blaspheme it. You know, GD is not nice to say. It's not a right thing to say, but it doesn't fire me up as bad as when somebody uses Jesus Christ in vain. Because they don't know what to, you know, you think about what Jesus said before he died on that cross. They've nailed him to a cross. Are you listening to me? They've nailed the Creator to a cross. And so we don't need to think that somehow it's strange that we're being persecuted. See, that's another thing. Don't think it's strange that we're being persecuted. Paul, I read in Galatians this morning, Paul said, listen, can y'all leave me alone? I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be nice for a minute. But think about this. As he's getting ready to die for the sins of the whole world, and our Creator's hanging on a tree, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. I'll tell you something else too, and this was cool. That part was so sweet and wonderful. I'll tell you the part that was cool. I'll tell you somebody else that didn't know what they were doing, and that was the rotten, stinking devil. Because God used his character to whip him. God knew that the devil can only kill, steal, and destroy. And so every chance he got, he tried to kill Jesus. Now he died when it was time to die. Until it was time to die, he lived because the devil didn't kill him. God sacrificed him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. See, they don't know what they're doing. And that's another side of the equation. That's why, you know, I have to constantly remind myself that they don't know what they're doing. And that you never know, the person that's the most anti-God may turn out to be the Apostle Paul. But you got to tell them the truth. You got to tell them who Jesus is. You can't be afraid of that name. And if you want an end to conversation, you know, if you get around somebody and you're just tired of talking to them, just bring up Jesus. You know, when I was fired up way more than I am now publicly, you know, I've calmed down probably way too much, probably. Some people would even call it compromising. But I remember back in the old days when somebody would take the Lord Jesus' name in vain and say, Jesus Christ, I'd say, Savior of the world. And they'd go, oh, God, that's one of them. That's one of them. That's one of them. Hallelujah. Let me close up with some review of John's gospel again. Man, I tell you what, if you don't have anything else going on, you think you're caught up on some stuff, won't you read Colossians 1 and Hebrews 1? Won't you just read it and let that soak into your membrane? It's fascinating to me how much I get out of God's word and how hard it is for me to get in it. Can I get somebody to testify to that except me? What I've started to do is our ministry supports the YouVersion Bible version that comes on the phones and everything. And what I've started to do is when they have the verse of the day, I'll just use that verse and then read the whole chapter in that verse. It's good because a lot of times it's New Testament verses and things like that. But it's amazing. I'll get in there and I'll see that wonderful stuff that's in there and the truth that's in there and the revelation that's in there. And I don't stick around long enough. I don't stick around as long as I should. I don't revel in it like I should. And yet God speaks to me. God's the one that introduced this whole subject today. I wasn't going to even read John 14:6. I'm scared of it. Amen. But I'm not really scared of it. I love it. I have the privilege of telling people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Your religion won't save you. Whatever it is you're hooked up with, if you're not hooked up with Jesus, you're not hooked up with the right thing. And somebody said, oh, that's blasphemy. No, it's not blasphemy. It's the truth. Just like they're telling you that if Republicans win on Tuesday, it's an end to democracy. No, that's not true. That's blasphemy. Are you listening to me? Oh, I want to create more people where I want people to begin to balance and weigh things based on what the Bible says and not what man says. Because this is true. Let's close it up with this. John, here's what he said in John chapter 6, and he's the only person that's ever said this. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Who came down from heaven? The Creator. Amen. Thank you, Pete. Who came down from heaven? Amen. Praise the Lord. That reminds me of when my kids were little. I don't do it as much, but when we'd come home from church after preaching, I'd say, what was the sermon about? You know what Anna said every Sunday? Jesus. I thought, well, I mean, I guess. Can you kind of expand on it a little bit? She said, Jesus Christ. I said, well, what about a little bit more than that? She said, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we are a strange. You know, God has to look at us, and you have to know how much he loves us because we are so strange. It's so hard for us to connect to the great creator of the universe. It's amazing to me. Anyway, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 8. Oh, this really made them mad. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, or really and truly, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, oh man, I am. See the history of that, what that said to those people, what that meant to those people was blasphemy. He was saying he was the fella in the burning bush. He was the one that told Moses, take off your sandals, for the ground you stand on is holy. See, that's old covenant. In the old covenant, you had to take your shoes off. You couldn't stand in his presence. In the new covenant, he actually comes to live in your heart. Your heart's been redeemed and regenerated and renewed, and God will come live inside of you. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." You know what reaction he got for that? Revival broke out in all of Jerusalem. They said, "Man, we got to get you on TV. Woo! You want to run for office?" Is that what they did? No, the Bible said they picked up stones to toss at him and to kill him. Again, the devil just always wants to do that. He wants to deface us and kill us. That's another clue for you. Anytime anybody's trying to pass legislation that's going to do something to deface the form of humanity, you know it's from Satan. We're made in the image of God. We're made in the similitude of God. Let us make man in our image. It's blasphemous to do anything that would degrade the human body. And then here's what he says in John 11. And this is the validation of who he was. Listen to this. This is the validation of who he was. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Everybody say that. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whew. You know what that ought to do? That ought to create a fearless life if we actually believe that. If we actually believe that, that ought to create a fearless life, because our future is determined. Our destiny is to be with our Creator who sits at the right hand of God. But listen to me now. Listen to me now. I got to go to a verse of Scripture in Revelation. How many of you are absolutely going to pass out? I just said Revelation. Huh? I'm not an expert on Revelation, sir, but I know a few verses in it. Let me show you something here. You know, we read all these verses. We said all these things. And how many of you believe them? How many of you? I believe it. You believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Do you believe that he came down from heaven to do the will of God? Do you believe that I can get to the book of Revelation? Then let's bring to conclusion the greatness of him. And let's understand why we have to give heed to what he said. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. Revelation 1, verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Verse 13, one at a time, real quick. Here we go. Verse 13. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. Verse 14. I won't make much comment until I get to where I want to be. Verse 14. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. Listen to this. By the way, do you understand who we're talking about here? We're talking about the way, the truth, and the life. We're talking about the resurrected Redeemer. We're talking about the name that's above every name. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. Verse 15. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Oh, man. Woo! Verse 16. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. You get a hold of this? His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. You got to get a resurrected body just to see him. Flesh can't stand that. Remember when Peter and James and John were up at the Mount of Transfiguration? They fell out dead. Verse 17. why don't I let the Bible speak? And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Say that. Do not be afraid. You know what? No matter what happens on Tuesday, don't be afraid. No matter what happens in America, don't be afraid. Now see, don't misinterpret that. Don't get passive. Don't take the election for granted. I hear people on Facebook talking about, you know, we just got to trust that it'll turn out the way God wants it. That is stupid. It'll only turn out the way it's supposed to turn out if you do the right thing and vote. God doesn't counterfeit votes. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Verse 18. And I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. None of it would have mattered if he'd have stayed in that grave. None of it would have mattered if he didn't get resurrected from the dead and got seen by at least 500 people at one time, and then to be preached and be taught to the world, and then to know that everybody that believes and receives him can testify in their heart that they know that they are now children of God, that they know that their Redeemer lives, that they know that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that they know that what he told them in John 3:16 has been a reality in your life when he said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible tells us in 1 John that if you have the Son, you have that life. And if you have not the Son, you have not that life. But we know we have it because he lives forevermore. He's the resurrected Savior of the world. And our most important thing, more important than voting, more important than anything else we do, our most important thing is to live for him and to tell people about him. And then politics will take care of itself. It'll take care of itself. But you can't have Jesus in your heart and hate somebody because of the color of their skin. You can't. You're a fake. You're a fake if you hate somebody because their skin color is different than you. You can't. And you can't have God in your heart and want to see people killed and murdered and see children have their bodies desecrated. You can't. I'm sorry to tell you that. Let's stand up on our feet. I really believe I've done as much as I can do. The next time we meet, we'll all have some different information. Now get ready for something. I hate to throw this in the sacredness of this preaching, but get ready for something. They'll drag this thing out as long as they can if they've lost. Right. Just get ready for that. So you may not know everything on Tuesday. Our line president's already told you what he's going to do. But if we'll do our part and believe that we've got some kind of a better handle on cheating during elections, I think more people have begun to understand that this country's lost its mind and I want to get back to some level of normalcy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Jesus, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for what you did for us. I've done a terrible job of getting it across to people, but I've told it anyway. I've done the best I can. See, when you come in contact with Jesus, when you really come in contact with Jesus, there's really nothing else that compares to him. There's nothing else. And no matter how your life goes, no matter how twisted you may get or how far removed you get away from him, you can never get away from the reality that you came in contact with the very meaning of life. And I want to tell you that if you're listening by radio or internet, you haven't come in contact with life until you've come in contact with Jesus. Because he's the creator of life, and he's the reason that life was created. And that's just huge, man. And the Bible tells us some wonderful, glorious news that our Creator is not running from us. He's not hiding from us. He actually loves us. And He's reaching out to you right now. And He's asking you to let Him into your life. That's all. He just wants you to let Him into your life and receive Him as Lord and tell Him that He is God. Because John says that if you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in you and you live in God. What about that? So if you're listening by radio or internet and you've heard what I've said and you've had the Holy Spirit minister to you this morning and you believe that Jesus is God, say this with me. Say, Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is God. I believe that He died for my sins and He rose from the dead for my salvation. By faith in Him, I am now a child of God and I have eternal life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, man. Oh, I know you prayed. I know some of you prayed that prayer, and it's the greatest thing you've ever done. And if you can get your hands on a Bible, get your hands on one and begin to read these things and learn these things. And go to our website, lifeinchristchurch.net. Click on sermons and start listening to these sermons and build yourself up in the faith and build yourself up in finding out who Jesus is. Lord, we give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We thank You for giving us the privilege of being able to do this and meeting the needs financially. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless y'all. Have a great Sunday.